very meaningful thing for us to be a part of, and a meaningful thing for our church, and a meaningful thing for just us as individuals, because it's a step taking us forward to say, this is where I'm at and following Jesus. And, it's not just something that we do. I've had many conversations with people that actually talk them out of getting baptized because they weren't quite ready yet mentally. And so we've had the conversation and said, it's a step of an outward profession of an inward change that God is doing in you, and saying that I do want to follow Christ. I do want to be in line with what he's called me to do, and challenging people to do that. And, you know, we've been praying a lot this year to have 52 baptisms this year. And that's not for numbers for us, but to say, God, can you bless us with a baptism per week this year? And say, we want to see people be changed. As you know, our motto is come as you are, be changed, go change the world. And, the be changed thing, I believe that that's one way we can truly measure it. One way we can truly measure it is by seeing somebody say, I'm going to take that step and I'm going to be baptized. And I'm praying that really that happens. I'm praying that happens for all of us. I'm praying that we're changed every day. This is a little bit different than what we normally do. If you're new with us, and even if you're not new with us, you're probably like, why are you starting to talk now? We haven't sung any songs yet. That's out of quirkiness here. Well, I'm just going to blow your minds for a second here, because what we're going to do today is we're actually going to talk about prayer. And as we talk about prayer, I want to give an opportunity to actually respond in it versus having the music up front and the prayer up front. Because generally, we have a tendency just to go through a routine. When you go into a church, most churches have the same type of routine. It's an opening time. There's the meet and greet, and you have a video, something that brings up, and there's kind of a fast song and maybe a medium song that moves into a slower song that talks into the message. And then from there, it kind of goes back to a song. And I talked to Jerome this week, and I said, I want to do something different, because as we're doing our refocus, and we're refocusing on prayer, we're refocusing on what God has called us to do. And we've narrowed it down to five things that we're really called to do as a church, and they're all gospel-centered, and it's evangelism, discipleship, connection, worship, and prayer. And as we look at prayer, prayer is kind of one of those things that's difficult to do. It's difficult to really play out as a church. And I looked at it, and I was talking about it, and I was talking to Jerome, and I said, you know, as we're praying for these baptisms, what are we praying? How are we praying? How are we praying as a church? How are we coming together and say, we want to see life change? Because, you know, the come as you are part isn't really that difficult. Now, it's not easy, but of the come as you are, be changed, go change the world, it's definitely the easiest of the three options. I can come as I am, but being changed is another whole step. And then going and changing the world is a whole other step even beyond that. I was even thinking about this week. I'm not sure if you're aware that this week is a thing called Fat Tuesday and then Ash Wednesday. And you may know Fat Tuesday as Mardi Gras. That is the end of this carnival celebration. And it's big in the South American Catholic countries, especially in the European Catholic countries, especially. And what that is, if you're not aware, you probably have some recollection to what's going on with Mardi Gras or with Fat Tuesday, but it is the grand finale to celebration of carnival. And carnival's that time that you can binge and take in excess of whatever you want. And that's the mentality that is there. You know what Ash Wednesday is? It's the exact opposite. It's the day you go and repent for Fat Tuesday. That's really what it kind of boils down to, because you're getting ready to kick off Lent. And Lent is 40 days, or 46 days, because they take away the Sundays, but it's 40 days of giving up something, some sort of self-sacrifice, some sort of step into prayer to do that. And I think about, I've known many of people, I grew up Catholic, that go in on Ash Wednesday and they have the palm, you know, the burnt palm ash that is spread on their forehead, and they put the cross on it. And still, even to this day, I forget that that's the day, and I go into Walmart or a place like that, and I'm like, what is on that guy's head? And I completely forget what the whole point is. And I look at that, and I say, that's really the come as you are. Come just as you are. I mean, no matter what you did the day before, no matter what binge you had the day before, this is the come as you are. This is where you're at. The be changed really should take place over the next 40-plus days of giving up. Now, it becomes a little bit less than what it was before. You know, don't eat meat, but you can't eat fish because fish is cold-blooded and meat is warm-blooded, so that's the reason why you can't. And all these kind of little rules and things like that, we try and come up with loopholes to the thing. But what it's about is about self-sacrifice. What it's about is about giving up something of my own to get through, to celebrate what Jesus has done for me by giving up himself. And that be changed, like I said, it's a little bit more difficult. And as we look at saying, well, how do I get through that? How do I be changed? How do I give up of myself? And I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is prayer. It very simply is prayer. It's our heart going to God and saying, God, I need you to fix me of this. I need you to change me because I can't do it on my own. And, you know, the answer really is that prayer is the work. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Oswald Chambers before. He wrote a devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest. And in that devotional book, he actually wrote something on prayer. He says this, prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work. And a lot of times I think we forget, especially as churches, that when God has called us to do something, to bathe it in prayer, to really lay it out there before God and say, God, I need you to do something with this. Because it doesn't matter how many programs we have. It doesn't matter how many sermons I give. It doesn't matter how great the music is or isn't or any of those kind of things as much as prayer. See, we focus a lot of information, a lot on small groups, a lot on the things that we do versus the prayer base to make those things happen and to ask God's blessing on those things and for him to pour out on those things. See, bigger than any program, bigger than any sermon, bigger than any song is prayer. The greater work is there. And how do I know that? How do we know that? Well, if you go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 12. And we're only going to read two verses. It's quite a passage here, but we're only going to pick two verses out of it as we look at this to see what Jesus thinks about prayer. As a matter of fact, this is what's taking place. I'll give you a little bit of background. The time is Passover. So the temple is packed, and it's packed full of people, and there's all these people from all around that are there, that are getting ready to celebrate, that are getting ready to bring their offering, that are getting ready to bring their sacrifice, and this is what takes place in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 21. It says, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Not a house of sermons, not a house of music, not a house even of small groups. A house of prayer. That's where it starts at. But you make it a den of robbers. So as we look at this, we see my house should be called a house of prayer. And this is going back to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, where Isaiah talks about it, that this is to be a house of prayer. That is what the foundation of it all is. Now, other things are going to happen. Yes, the prayers are going to happen. And then that's going to lead to the connection. That's going to lead to the sermons. That's going to lead to the music. Because those things are all prayers and praises to God. And we have to see a couple of things as we digest just this little bit of the passage. Because so much happens even in those two verses that we see. First, like I said, it's Passover. And as Passover's happened, all the people are coming from all around to bring their offering and to bring their sacrifice. And as we see, the offering is to be made in a temple coin. And it can't be made in Roman coin, or it can't be made in any other kind of foreign currency. So there has to be a transaction that takes place. Also, they're bringing a sacrifice, and the sacrifice needs to be a pure and spotless animal of some sort. Well, they can't bring these things from long distances, so they go with the intention, going to the temple to buy these things and buy this. So the idea is there. This Passover is taking place. And so that's the first thing we kind of need to see here. The second thing we need to see in this passage is this, that Jesus is different than we see him anywhere else in the scriptures. You know, if you have the Precious Moments Bible when you were a little kid, or like the little kid one with like the really cool little bubbly-eyed people, you never saw this drawing of Jesus flipping over tables. You never saw the heart, passionate, angry Jesus about something that's going on inside of his temple that shouldn't be going on. And so we see this new picture. The third thing we see is something I've heard preached, and I think some people have gotten it wrong in this way, is they say, these people shouldn't have been there. I disagree. I think they should have been there because there were people that were in need of the money exchange to the temple coin. There were people in need of a sacrifice that was pure and spotless. They were in need of that. So Jesus wasn't mad that they were there. What was Jesus mad about? He was mad at the fact that they were thieving, that they were gouging people with the prices. He was mad that it was being used in a way different than what he had originally set it up for, that his father had set up the temple for. We see that these people weren't there to pray. They weren't there to worship. They weren't there to assist others in worship. What were they there for? Themselves. Themselves. So as we see this play out, I am afraid almost to make the connection of then and now. Because I've heard people say, well, we shouldn't sell things in church, or, you know, the kids shouldn't bring in their chocolate bars to sell to us in church. I've heard those things before, and I don't think that's what is being discussed here. I think what is being discussed here is how do we come to church? Because, see, these people didn't have any problem with coming just as they are. We don't have any problem coming just as we are, but why do we come as we are? Are we looking to be changed? Are we looking for that next step? Are we only coming for ourselves? How many times have we gone to church with ourselves in mind? How is this music going to play out? How is that preacher going to do? How are they going to feed me? How is the children's area? How is this? And each one of those questions comes out about me instead of how am I going to go and be able to worship? How am I going to be able to go and pray? How am I going to be able to assist others in worship? Because that was the point of the guys that were behind the tables, was to assist others in worship. But they missed that because they got concerned about themselves first. And I see that take place in so many churches, you know, that people don't really come to worship the King. They don't really come to pray and lift up praises to the King. They don't really come to offer themselves as a sacrifice, like it talks about in Romans chapter 12. They don't come to assist others in worship. They come begrudgingly, or they come because it's about what they can get out of it. And Jesus says, you know what, that's not it. I almost wonder if Jesus were to walk into church today, any church across America, if he started kicking people out. I mean, think about it for just 2 seconds. Would he start saying, hey, you're in here for the get out. You're not assisting people. All you're doing is here for yourself. You know, one of the blessings of a smaller church is we don't have the network of a large church. And I say that as a blessing because I know many people that I've invited that look at our church as if a realtor, for instance. Well, there's not very many people in your church that I can sell a home to, so I'm not going to go to your church. I'm going to go to a bigger church where I can network with more people. I'm like, shame on you. Because that's not what it's about, but that's our mentality sometimes. What can I get out of the deal? And we have to understand that it's not about us. And that's why I think he calls it a house of prayer, because prayer takes the focus off of us and puts it on him. We talked last week about our dependence, about needing him, about being desperate for him. And that's what prayer does. It takes it out of our hands and says, it's not about me. It's about him in all the things. And I want you to think about, even back to the book of Acts, when his church started. And you think about the book of Acts and the things that took place. How did it all start out? Did these guys get together and say, hey, we really need to build a building. And in the process of building a building, we're just going to have people start coming to it. No, as a matter of fact, if you go to the book of Acts chapter 1, we'll see these things start to play out. See, Acts chapter 1, it tells us in verse 8 that Jesus had ascended up into heaven, and now he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you as you guys go and share the word. And this is what their response is in verse 13 of Acts chapter 1. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room, where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to what? Prayer. They're devoting themselves to prayer. Jesus had left. They didn't know what else to do. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit, so they went and they began to pray. And they did it together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And we see the results in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes down like a mighty rushing wind. And it's all these people are able to speak different languages, and all this amazing stuff starts taking place. And Peter goes out and he starts sharing with all these people, and everybody's like, that guy, he's an idiot. Actually, they use that word. They call him one, and they're like, I can't believe he's able to speak the way he does. And he said, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people come to know Jesus. And this is how they respond in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So we see this is part of what's going on. There's that preaching. There's the connection to the breaking of bread and to what? The prayers. They didn't forget prayers. It wasn't like, oh, we prayed at the beginning of service and everything else is our thing. We ask God for the blessing to do what we want to do. No, they continue to pray through it all. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes and receiving their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Once again, praying and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, I look at that passage and I think to myself, we have prayed. We've prayed for 52 baptisms. We're 5 weeks, or this is our sixth week. We're 5 weeks in. We have 5 baptisms checked, if you want to go by checklists. We have 3 more in the wings. I was already talking to Dan. They got a spot at the river. I'm excited. I hope they are too. I'm excited to see what God's going to do and how he's going to do it next. But it all starts with prayer. See, everything else takes place. But it all starts with prayer, and it's all bathed in prayer. And that's just the beginning of the book of Acts. You look through the book of Acts even more, and you see in times of trial, what are they doing? They're praying. You see times of imprisonment. What are they doing? They're praying, to the point where they're praying so hard that Peter gets released from prison, that he gets released from prison, and he goes to the house where they're all praying, and they don't believe it actually got answered. They can't believe that he's actually at the door. There's times in the midst of big decisions, they're getting ready to set up deacons and elders and all the things, and they pray about what's going to happen next. They were in communion with God. They were constantly talking to him. And we go back and we say, Jesus called his house a house of prayer. And we see it, and we think about prayer. We talked about it last week. We talked about it from an individual standpoint last week. And this week, I started doing some research, and I started taking a look at the individual prayers. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, he tells us, as an individual, we need to go behind the door and lock ourselves away and be able to be in communion with him without any distractions going on. And I thought about that, and I'm like, you know, how does that tie into what a church does? And then I looked just 3 verses later in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It's the start of him teaching what's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to hear, as it's read here, the pronouns, I guess, that we're using this, the plurals that we're using this, as we look and we say, well, just 3 verses early, he's talking about praying by yourself. But then he says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you notice the plurals that are there? So what is he saying here? Is he telling us that we should be praying the hours, even though we're by ourselves, that we're all in one spirit lifting up? Maybe. Maybe if, when you're in your room and I'm in my room and we're praying this, it's our prayers going up and asking that. But I also looked and I saw this. Of the entire Gospels where Jesus is praying, there are 37 unique instances where Jesus is either teaching prayer or he's modeling prayer. Of those 37 instances that he's modeling, 33 are in the plural. 33 are saying, my house needs to be a house of prayer. In order to be a house of prayer, we need to be a people of prayer, a group of prayer. And then I got really convicted and said, when was the last time we really took time and prayed as a church? Not just, hey, let's open up in prayer. Not just, hey, we have somebody who's sick, let's pray over them. Not just, it was, how do we get together? Because you know what? Wednesday night prayer meetings, they've kind of gone by the wayside. I'm not sure if you grew up and having to go to those. Man, I did. I would pray to God. There would be a storm or I'd have soccer practice or anything. So I didn't have to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Because Wednesday night prayer meetings were boring. And I thought, that's the way I saw it as a kid. I still saw it that way as an adult. Because I don't really want to have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but then I get to think about it. Why is prayer boring? Since when is coming into the presence of our Heavenly Father boring? Since when is it something that we should really be thinking about in a negative way? We get to talk to the Creator of the universe. We get to ask Him for blessings upon us. We get to lift Him up and thank Him. And I thought about that even as we do that. And I'm going to invite actually the band to come up. And what we're going to do tonight is, like I said, we're going to respond in prayer. And tonight, we're going to sing some songs. And these songs are prayers and praises to God. That's why we call it praise music. It is us singing it to Him. So I'm praying that your heart in the way that we move towards this is responding in a way of prayer, is responding in a way that says, God, You really are that great. I mean, we're going to sing a song called 10,000 Reasons. It's by Matt Redman. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, for I want my soul, my life, my all to bless Him. Not the other way around. I'm not coming here to be blessed, but instead to bless Him. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. You know what I want you guys to do tonight? I want you to sing like never before. I don't care if you're on note or not. I don't think God does either. He cares about your heart. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. I love this first verse, and then I'm going to let Jerome kind of take it from there. But it says this, the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. It doesn't matter what happens today. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. I want to be worshiping and praising You because You are You. Not because of what You've done for me or haven't done for me, but because You are You. And the song continues on. I want you guys to sing that. But even after we're done with that, we're going to take a time and actually pray through this song. And then we're going to pray through Scripture. I'm going to ask you to go to Psalm 113. And we're going to read Psalm 113 and read it as a prayer. And then we're going to even do something even a little bit more crazy. With Ash Wednesday coming up, I'm going to blow some of your minds. We're going to do a responsive reading. Okay, I know some of you are like, what? I haven't done that since I had to read out the back of the hymnal 40 years ago. But that's the thing is we're going to move in that direction because we want to come as a house together, as a people together to lift up His name. And we're going to kind of carry this through. And we're going to sing the songs and we're going to sing them as prayer. And we're going to move forward in that. And as we do, I pray that God speaks to you. And then we're going to actually wrap up by praying over our church, over God's church. And as we do, we're going to pray the prayers that Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians, in the book of Thessalonians, when he prays over the church and says, this is what I want for you. I was reading some commentary this week on that, and it actually talked about this. It said, you know, Paul has some amazing prayers written throughout Scripture. If our prayers were recorded for people to read 2,000 years from now, would we be embarrassed? Yeah. And I thought, you know, that's exactly it. That's a great question to ask. So we're going to pray those prayers that Paul wrote down over our church, over the church, over Rio Rancho, that we can go change the world. This come as you are, be changed, go change the world. So, Jerome, I'm going to ask you, if you guys wouldn't mind, to sing. And we're going to dim the lights down. You can stand, you can sing, you can kneel, you can sit, whatever you choose to do. But I want to ask you to sing this even as a prayer, that you would lift up Christ, that you would lift up God, and just ask your soul to bless Him. You know, I see the passage in Psalm 113. It's where that song comes from. And it says this. It says, praise the Lord. Praise, O the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time, from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He will give the barren woman a home and make her joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Isn't that just an awesome passage to see? And what I want to do is I want to just pray that. I want to pray that out to say, praise the Lord. Praise who he is. Praise what he's done. Praise what he is doing. Praise what he's going to do. Lift him up in that way. And I would love for you to respond as I read this out. It'll come up on the screen, and mine will be in white, and yours will come up, and it'll be to respond. It'll be the words in yellow. It says, as King of all the earth, creator of the universe, holy triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, with our whole hearts, for your glory is above the heavens. From the rising of the sun to the setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. You raise the poor from the dust and lift the needy from the ash heap, transforming them with glory and honor. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. You will bring fruitfulness from barrenness and give homes to the solitary. From the rising of the sun
to its setting,
we will praise the name of the Lord. Who is like our God, the one who looks down from the heights on the heavens and on the earth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord. This is our God, the Holy One. Come before him with thanksgiving and offer him the sacrifice of praise. Let's pray together. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are and what you do. And please help us and forgive us, because we forget. We forget how awesome it is to be able to come into your presence. We forget how awesome it is to be able to talk one-on-one with you, to talk to you as a group, to be able to just come into your presence, because that wasn't always the case. But because of your son, Jesus, it is. And God, it doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day. We want to bless your name. And even as we sing this next song, God, may it not just be empty words that are on a screen, but instead be a prayer and a praise from our heart. Blessed be your name, Lord. We pray that in your name. Amen. What I'd like to do right now is I'd like to take that same song. And Jerome, if you don't mind, just kind of just playing it softly in the background. I want to take a time where we as a church pray and thank God and bless his name and say thank you for the good times. Thank you for the bad times. And I don't know what it's been in your life. I don't know where that God is working. Sometimes he works in the junk. And sometimes he works in the good. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take a moment and lift up those prayers. And you can pray silently or you can pray aloud. And if you just want to pop something up and say, God, thank you for this. And whether that be a good thing or a bad thing, that's up to you. And where is he working at in your heart? How is he working in you? So I'm just going to sit back down. If you have something to say, say it. Say it to God. Say it as we lift it up as a house of prayer. hear the word Hosanna, and I think of Palm Sunday, maybe you do as well, when all the people were gathered around as Jesus was on that triumphal entry and he's coming in and people are yelling out Hosanna, which means Savior. They knew who he was. They saw him in a different way as a Savior from the Roman government, but they're calling him Hosanna, King of Kings. And they're bringing him in. And just within a few days, they turn themselves away from him. I would pray that doesn't happen to us. That some Sunday that we come before him saying, Hosanna, you are the King of Kings, that within hours or within days that we turn ourselves from him. So what I want to do now is I want to close up by praying the prayers of Paul over the church. See, Paul has recorded all different prayers throughout all different letters that he wrote to different churches, praying over them. And it's funny, I was reading a commentary this week, and as it was talking in the commentary, it said, can you imagine if our prayers were recorded for people 2,000 years ago to read, would we be embarrassed? And I thought to myself, yeah. But listen to what he prays, and I want to pray these, and I want you to pray either with the person next to you, pray by yourself, pray in your row, pray with the person behind you as we pray these prayers. Listen to what he says to the church in Ephesus in the very first chapter. He says this in verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you. I don't cease. I keep going, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Isn't that our prayer, that we have the spirit of wisdom? And the revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. Do you know what the hope that he's called you to is? I pray that you do, and I pray as we pray this out that he reveals it to you if you don't. What are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? I'd ask you to pray right now where you're at, in the seat that you are, in the area that you are, to pray that you have a spirit of wisdom, that he would reveal that knowledge to you, and that you'd have your hearts enlightened to know what the hope is, and not only know it, but also to share it. So pray that right now. As Paul continues in that same letter to the church in Ephesus, he continues another prayer starting in verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to the knowledge, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is my prayer for you this morning. That is my prayer that I hope that you pray, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. Think about the things that we ask and think. Think about the things that we call upon God. He's able to do far more abundantly than that. According to the power that is work within us, that Holy Spirit that is there, to him be the glory. Isn't that our prayer? That it's not about us, that it's about him, that we are assisting people in worship, that we are coming before him in prayer and praise and lifting up him and our messages in our song, not about us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen. That'd be my prayer for you to pray right now. Pray Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. You know, I hear all the little sounds of the kids next door on cue. There was one. And I hear the sounds of the babies in here. And I love the sound. And I think about going back to that Hosanna. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. With selfless faith. And I think about that. We have a generation that we're following into. And this prayer from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 is huge for us to be praying over the church as we raise up that generation. It says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Isn't that a huge prayer? We have a huge calling to be leading that next generation so they can lead the next generation, so they can lead the next generation to make disciples. God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the people in this room that are raising up the next generation. Please do that right now. There's so many great prayers that Paul prayed over the churches. We're just going to look at one more. And we see this one we just looked at where it says, God may make you worthy of his calling, where we're being changed. Well, the prayer in Colossians says this, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner, once again, being worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and doing what? Bearing fruit, changing the world in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all the endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Listen to this. He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Amen? That is our prayer, that we can thank him and respond by thanking him by bearing fruit and changing. It's so great that he has qualified us to be a part of his kingdom. It's all about him.
Thou art. Thank you. King in heaven, you are so amazing and so awesome. And it's such a thing to think about that these songs that we sing, we don't exaggerate. That you are indeed great, and awesome is a word that is only reserved for you. That you are a King who parts seas and causes blind to see, and you cause the dead to rise. All of these things, God, you are capable of. And so when we sing these songs of praises, we know that we are singing them to a God who is alive and hears. You are not a God that is made by our hands. You are a God who indeed is living and hears us and loves us to the point where you allow us to call you Dad. So, Dad, we love you, but thank you for loving us way, way more. We give you all the praise and glory, because how great is our God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.